So we're beginning here on the bottom of Tzadik Bet Amud Bet, nine lines up. Amar Lo Abaye. Abaye now mentions or asks a question with regards to the group of individuals that were sitting together. You had four people that were sitting there. It's going to become important that these individuals. You had Rabba, Rabbi Zeira, Rabba Rav Chanon, and then you had Abaye. The Gemara delineated Abaye separately, indicating that he's going to be the linchpin in the sugya. But it also turns out that Abaye is a Talmid of Rabba, and it seems to be that the others are peers, and Abaye is a Talmid. He's a generation below those that are sitting there. But Abaye makes a statement about what we just saw, which is, Im kein matzinu mechitza li'isur. From these dinim that we just laid out here, between a big chatzer and a small chatzer, a big gag and a small gag, that has implications, and the implications are that we have a situation here where a mechitza ends up being li'isur, which is shocking. She'il malei ein mechitza. Had there been no mechitza here whatsoever, marchik dalet amot vizoreya, then all he had to do was move the zriyah, the planting, four amot away from the kerem, away from the vineyard, and then he could have planted without any problem. Vilu hashto asura. But now over here, because the ktana, the area that is surrounded, the smaller area that's surrounded, is appended to the bigger area, therefore if you plant the entire big area with a kerem, with a vineyard, you cannot plant in the entire small area any zera. You can't bring it there because of kilea kerem. So it turns out that had you had nothing there, you could have just moved away four amot and planted whatever you wanted. But because now there's a wall around this smaller area that appends it to the bigger area, makes it as if it's a petach or adjunct to the bigger area, that means that anywhere in that small area, if you planted the entire big area with a vineyard, you can't plant anything. That makes that the mechitza makes the situation worse than had there been no mechitza. So Abaye says this is unbelievable. Where else do we have such a case of mechitza l'isur, where it makes the situation worse? Now you can have each one of the others that were sitting at the table propose to him other situations in which we have mechitza l'isur. Amar lei Rabbi Zeira l'Abaye, v'lo matzinu mechitza l'isur. We don't find a case of mechitza l'isur. V'atznan. What about our Mishnah? And that's why this is over here. Our Mishnah, chatzer gedula shenifritza l'ktana. In a case where a chatzer gedula breaks open into a ktana, gedula muteret v'ktana asura. V'pnei shi'i k'petcha shel gedula. Because it becomes like a doorway into the ktana. And the big one breaks, we look at it as if a doorway. The small one is nifrats bikulo into the big one. And therefore the small one is asur, and the big one is mutar. Now what happens if instead, you can see the picture in Rashi, you continue on the walls. You take the gifufim that you have from the big one, and instead of leaving it the way it is, you continue the walls from the small one all the way through the big one to the other side. Now, if you do that, then you're going to end up in a situation where they're both asurim. If you were to continue those walls from the chatzer ktana all the way through the gedola, then both of them would be asurim. So see here a case where you build a mechitza, and it ends up being worse. Had it been just the way it was before, the gdola would have been mutar, and the ktana would have been asura. Yet now, when he builds the wall straight across, all of a sudden both of them become asurin. So Abaye answers him and says, wait a minute. You didn't build something there. You took something down. You ruined something. The gifufim, those little bands on the side, those edges on the side, the boards on the side, are providing the heter for the gdola. That's what makes it mutar. As soon as you build these walls, you ruin those side pieces. And by ruining the side pieces, that's why the gedola becomes asur. You're not building a mechitza. You're ruining what makes it mutar. You're ruining the mechitzot that actually made the gedola mutaret. So, Amar lei Rabba l'Abaye, that's the girsa that we have here. Although the Rabbeinu Tam switches the girsa to Amar lei Rabba, because it would make sense that the three individuals that were there were Rabbi Zeira, then Rabba. So it would make sense that Rabba is posing a question, even though later on in the Gemara we see that Rabba actually got involved in this situation, and therefore Tosafot says maybe it could be Rabba, although he leans heavily towards the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam that this should be Rabba. So Amar lei Rabba l'Abaye, Hello, matzinu mechitza l'isur. We don't have a case of mechitza l'isur. Vayitmar tzikech al gabei achsadra. If you put a sukkah up on top of an achsadra, sheish la pitzimim, that has basically lechis around on the sides. It has on the edges that don't have a wall, it has these poles that make it curve in or turn inward. So here you have a case with an achsadra. It's a machloket Rashi and Tosafot exactly what this achsadra looks like. Generally, an achsadra is like a gazebo which is open on all sides, and then you have a roof which you put tzach on over here. But in this case, two of the walls exist in this aksadra, because you're making a sukkah, and for sukkah, we need a minimum of three walls. So what we have here are two solid walls. According to Rashi, the walls here are parallel to each other, and you have walls on either side, and at the ends, you have these tzimim, these poles at the end, on either ends, at the four corners, you have these tzimim that make up the other walls. On the other hand, Tosafot believes that the two walls are perpendicular to each other. You have one wall here, one over here, and then the tzimim are on the edges. So that's the machloket Rashi and Tosafot, what the setup is. But what you have here is a case where the sukkah is kshera, because you have two solid walls, and the tzimim give you the additional walls that you need to get to the third walls. Now, tefach is not necessarily sufficient in these cases, because on the third wall, you actually need four tefachim. In a tefach hamashrut, that's less than three tefachim away from the wall, but the fact that you have these tzimim makes it that it is kasher. We're going to see Abai and Rovo disagree about exactly how it works here. But then, what does he do? Ve'ilu hishvat pitzimeh psua. He goes ahead and builds a wall. Either, you could say, inside of the two tzimim, on those walls that are parallel to each other, he fills in. Between those poles, he sticks a wall that flattens out that side, or even on the outside of those poles, he puts up a wall. Therefore, from the inside, when you stand on the inside anymore, you can no longer see the tzimim. They're not visible to you. From the outside, you could see them, but they're covered by a wall from the inside. In that case, it'll be psula. Correct. It's either way. You could either be filling in between the two poles, or even if he puts it outside of the poles and he just covers them entirely, either way, he's now eliminated the tzimim. By eliminating the tzimim, it makes it psula. So here you build a wall, and you ruin it. So there's another case where mechitza ruins it. So Abaye answers two things to him. Number one, I'm going to say Abaye l'didik shera. First of all, according to me, I don't even have a problem here at all. Even once you build those walls, it's still kshera. Because Abaye believes that piatikra yored visotem. Piatikra yored visotem means that if you have a crossbar on the top that's a tefach thick, then we look at it if it's straight and it's flat. We look at it as if it drops down and completes the mechitza on that side. It's called Pia Tikra, Yored Besutim. Abaye subscribes to that. And he says, even if you cover the tzimim, I think it's kasher. And there's no problem here because of the din of Pia Tikra, Yored Besutim. You should know that it's a big hula in Sukkah. The Rama quotes Pia Tikra, Yored Besutim, the Gabe Sukkah. And it ends up helping out with a number of situations, especially when you go to places when they built a Sukkah. And you're uncertain as to whether they put up the schach before the walls, or the walls before the schach. You know that we have to put up the walls, then the schach. But sometimes, there are many places, it's easier, they put up the schach first. Now that turns out to be a problem, because that taseh velo min ha'asui. You're building a sukkah that doesn't exist, because you put up the schach before the walls are there. If there is a tefach thick, a cross beam, across there, that makes the piyat tikra yored visotem, you don't have a problem. Because that makes it as if there was a wall there already, and the schach that's put on is fine, and then when they put on the walls afterwards, it'll be totally okay. Because of that, he says, I don't even have an issue here, Abaye says. L'shitati, there's no question, because with or without the tzimim, I think it's fine. But l'didach, according to you, Rova, siluk mechitzoti, he answers him the same way that he answered before, which is, you're not building a mechitza, and that's why it's psula. You're ruining the tzimim. And that's why there's a problem there. You had tzimim here before. You had these corner posts that were there before. That's what made it kasher. And when you build the wall, either to fill in between them or on top of them, they don't exist anymore. And that's why it becomes psula, not because of the new wall. The new wall eliminates the old mechitzot. And that's why you have something happening here. This is not a building a wall that makes it psula. This is the removal of the original mechitzot. And that's why you have a problem over here. So Amalei Rabba Barav Chanan Abaye. So now we have the next attempt at challenging Abaye from the third person in the party that's there and saying that maybe this isn't the case. V'lo matzina mechitza lisur. Are you sure we don't have mechitza lisur? V'atanyo. We have a bright Abaye shechetzio mikure v'chetzio enu mikure. You have a house that is covered. It has a roof on half of it. It doesn't have a roof on the other half of it. V'kifanim kan mutar lizura kan. If you have a vineyard under the part, let's for instance say under the part that has the roof on it, you have a vineyard, then on the part that does not have a roof on it, you can plant zera. And not only that, you can place them proximate to each other, adjacent to each other, because it is considered to be piatikra yored visotem. That roof that you have here drops down and creates a mechitza, and you can plant right there, because it's as if there's a wall there. The din with regards to kilea kerem is that if you have a wall between them, you could plant on one side, all the way up to one side of Kerem, and on the other side, you plant Zera, all the way up to the wall. If you don't have a wall, then you need Dalet Amot between them. But over here, because you have the ceiling that goes halfway across, we look at the edge of that ceiling as if it drops down, Pia Tikra Yored Visutem, makes a mechitza over there. So you can plant on one side vineyard, the other side you can plant zera. But then what happens? All of a sudden, v'ilu yishvad kiryo, asur. If he finishes off the ceiling of the roof to the other side, then you can no longer plant adjacent to each other. Now you have to leave dalet amot between them in order to plant them adjacent to each other. So you see here again, you have a mechitza, you're putting up a building, a wall, or here it's a ceiling, and you're making it that it's actually more chamur, that you have to leave dalet amot instead of having them exactly adjacent to each other. So here's a case where you have mechitza l'isur. Abai is going to answer the same way he's answered all the way along. Amalei otam siduk mechitza tu. So for all three of these challenges, the answer is the same thing, which is what you're doing is removing a mechitza. Over here too, when you finish off the ceiling, the roof, the reason that it doesn't work anymore is because you just ruined the piatikra, your reid v'sotein. You ruined the mechitza that was actually providing the division between the vineyard and the zera on the other side. So it's not that the new mechitza is what's happening, it's that you ruined the old mechitza that was there, which is the piatikra, your reid v'sotein. So you had three challenges to Abaye, who says that here we have, in this case, by the Chatzer Gdola, Chatzer Ktana, or Gag Gdola, Gag Ktana, that we have this unusual situation in which Kilayim or Kilei Akerem ends up being more chamur than had there been no walls there. And he says, we don't find that anywhere else. We don't find Bechitza Lisur. The three individuals who were sitting with him, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbo, and Rabbo Bar Rav Chanon, all challenge Abaye from instances where Mechitza makes the situation worse. And each of those cases, Abaye shows them that it's different than what he's saying. In each of these cases, they're putting up the mechitza actually eliminates an existing mechitza. And by eliminating the existing mechitza, that's what causes the problem. It's not the new mechitza. It's the ruining of the old mechitza that does that. That's not the case here. When we're talking about a case when you have a gdola and a ktana, where it's the mechitza itself that causes the problem. The encircling or the encompassing of that small area is what causes the problem in the kilei akerem. Now we have a challenge from Rava. And that's why the Tosafot discusses whether the other one could have been Rava, because now Rava gets into the fray, even though he wasn't present when this whole situation took place, which is Shalach Lei Rava de Abaye, Biad Rav Shmaya Bar Zeira. So he sent them this question through a intermediary. Velo Matzina Mechitza Lisur. We don't have such a case where Mechitza is Lisur, Vatanya. So we have a Braita. Yesh v'mechitzot hakerem lahakel u'lachach mir. Sometimes the mechitza inside of a vineyard turns out to be a kula, and sometimes it turns out to be a chumra. Ketzer, what's the situation? Kerem anatua ad ikar mechitza, zurea mikar mechitza veilech. This is what we just discussed before, that if you have a wall, on the one side you can plant the vineyard all the way up to the wall, and then you just, on the other side of the wall, you continue, you can plant the zera, and there is no kilei akerem. We do not worry about it at all, because there is a wall standing between them. Whereas, she'ilu ein sham mechitza, had there been no mechitza there, then he would have to be marchig dalet amot. He would have to separate between them for amot. In this instance, the mechitza turns out to be a kula. With the wall there, you can plant the vineyard all the way up to the wall on one side, the zera on the other side all the way to the wall. No wall there, you'd have to leave a gap of dalet amot between them. That is mechitza le'kula. But on the other hand, sometimes le'achmir. Sometimes the mechitza turns out to be a chumra. Ketzad. What's the situation in which a wall turns out to be a chumra, which is, hayamashuch menakotel yudalafama, had the vineyard been 11 amot away from the wall, lo yavi zera desham. You're not allowed to plant between the vineyard and the wall. There's a space between the vineyard and the wall of 11 amot. You cannot plant in that 11 amot zera. Shimalei ein mechitza. Had there been no mechitza there, then marchik dalet amot vizoreya. All you would have to do then, if there was no wall there at all, stop at the end of the vineyard, count four amot, and then you can plant, no problem. Now all of a sudden there's a wall there, and in that instance you can't plant. If there's even 11 amot between the wall and the vineyard, you can't plant in that area. So that turns out to be zuhui mechitza de kerem lachmir. Here's a mechitza in the kerem that caused it to be a situation lachmir. Now Abaye responds to them, why are you asking me from a braita? Why aren't you asking me from an explicit Mishnah? This situation that you're talking about is explicit in a Mishnah that we saw back on Daf Gimel Amud Bet. It's quoted back in the early on in the Gemara. This is a good Chazara. This Daf has a lot of Chazara from earlier in the Masechta. This is one of these cases, which is the case of Tnan, Kerechet HaKerem. Kerechet HaKerem means the bald vineyard. Bet Shammai Omim Chavdalet Amot, 24 Amot. Bet Hillel Omim Tetzayin Amot, it has to be 16 Amot. Michol HaKerem, the encircling of the kerem around the kerem, Bet Shammai Omrim, Tetzayin Amah, has to be 16 Amot, Bet Hillel Omrim, Yudbet Amah, has to be 12 Amot. What are we speaking about here? So that the Mishnah explains itself. Vezuhi Karechet HaKerem. What is the bald kerem? Kerem Shechareiv Emtziato. It's a case where you have a vineyard in which the center of the vineyard is destroyed, eliminated. So you have a vineyard that encircles an empty area in the middle. The question is, in that empty area in the middle, can you plant? Can you plant zera there without it being kilayah kerem? The answer to that is, how big is that area? And so here it's a machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, how big that area must be in order to plant it. Beit Shammai says that the area must be 24 by 24 amot, and then you can plant that center area. Beit Hillel says it has to be 16 by 16 amot in order to plant that area. And that's what it says now. You can't put plant there. If you have 16 amot, you give and then you plant the remainder. So in this case, if you have an area that's 16 by 16 empty in the middle of the vineyard, then for the kerem around the whole inner side of the kerem, the inside border of the kerem, you have to leave 4 amot, which is avodat kerem. So that if I go around and leave a strip of 4 amot all the way around, that means from the 16 by 16, I've just eliminated 8 by 8, because I've given 4 to each side around the kerem. So if I have 8 by 8 that's eliminated, then I can plant the center square that's left now that's 8 by 8. But that's the minimum I need. I need at least 8 by 8 amot in the middle to plant. The reason for that is, in order to gain chashivut, in order to gain significance, an area must be 4 by 4 amot. Without 4 by 4 amot, it's not considered to be a significant area. Therefore, if I look from the center of this kerem, I have kerem in all directions. I have a vineyard in every direction I look. In order for that middle piece not to be batel to the kerem, I need to have 4 amot of significance in each direction. So if I start from the center point of this empty square in the middle, I need 4 amot in each direction to be significant. That makes 8 by 8. And that's why Beit Hillel says you need a minimum of 16 by 16 amot in the middle to get an 8 by 8 area that's planted to give that significance. Plus the 4 amot that encircles it of avodat kerem that separates between it and the kerem. And that gives you that area of 16 by 16. Beit Shammai says that you need 24 by 24. Why does Beit Shammai say 24 by 24? Rashi over here only discusses one reason. Back on Gimel Medbet, I'm pretty sure Rashi mentions two reasons for Beit Shammai. So people with the art scrolls can't get back there now. But if you go to Gimel Amud Bet, you can see Rashi over there explains Beit Shammai in one of two ways. He says, either Beit Shammai believes that Avodat HaKerem is 8 Amot. So that's one possibility. So if Avodat HaKerem is 8 Amot, that means that you need an encircling of 8 Amot all the way around, which gives you basically 16 by 16 of Amot that are taken up for Avodat HaKerem. So then what remains in the middle? That remains the 8 by 8 that you need to plant in the middle. And if that's the case, you end up with 24 by 24. The other possibility that Rashi raises over there is that, no, they agree that Avodat HaKerem is 4 amot, but they believe in order for a planted area to be significant, you need 8 by 8. So if that's the case, if I start from the center dot, then if I go out in each direction 8 amot, I need a 16 by 16 square in the middle of planted area to be significant. And if that's the case, then I need 4 amot around Avodat HaKerem. So you have 16 by 16, another 8 for Avodat HaKerem in each direction. That gives you the 24 by 24. So Rashi, early on in the Masechta, is uncertain as to why Beit Shammai disagrees. Is it because he believes that Avodat HaKerem is 8 and not 4? Or does he believe that Zera, in order to be significant, needs to be 8 by 8 and not 4 by 4? For one of those two reasons, they need 24 by 24. Then we move on for Izu Mechol HaKerem. What is this Mechol HaKerem? Mechol HaKerem is the other way around. It's not on the inside of the Kerem, but on the outside of the Kerem. You have an empty area on the outside of the kerem, ben kerem legader, between the vineyard and the wall. You have a wall that surrounds it, and then around the kerem, there's empty space between the vineyard and the wall. So in that case, if you don't have 12 amot there, you can't plant in that area. If you have 12 amot between the vineyard and the wall, so what do you do? First, you have to give 4 amot from the vineyard. So that's your first 4 amot. Then, v'zareya et amutar. Then you have to plant the remainder. Truthfully, you only plant 4 amot after that. Which is because, number one, you have 4 amot of kdei avodato from the kerem. On the other side, by the wall, you leave 4 amot away from the wall. The reason you leave 4 amot away from the wall is because the earth, or the dirt that is near the foundation of the wall, you want that to be compacted. You want that to be solid in order to hold the foundation of the wall. If you plant in that area, it loosens the dirt around that area, and it will cause the foundation of the wall to be less secure. So because of that, a person will not plant the 4 amot that are near the wall. So now, reason I need 12 amot here is because I need 4 amot for Gedei Avodat HaKerem, 4 amot away from the wall, and then I plant the middle 4 amot, I need a minimum of 4 amot to make it into a significant planted area. And that's how I end up with the 12 amot of Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai, on the other hand, says you need 16 amot. So why does he need 16 amot? Depends on which opinion. If he needs 8 amot over, that's a kerem. The reason is you need 8 amot away from the kerem, 4 amot away from the wall, and then you plant 4 amot. That's one possibility of getting to the 16. The other possibility is that I need 4 amot away from the avodat hakerem, 4 amot away from the wall, and then 8 amot the planting to make it significant. So one of those two areas, nafkamina, how much area is planted for Beit Shammai? That's machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. So Abaye says to Rava, why did you question me from that braita? Here's a Mishnah that says the exact same thing. Why is it that if it was 11 amot, you can't plant there? It's because Beit Hillel says over here you need 12 amot between the kerem and the mechitza as a minimum to plant over there. So why did you bother asking me from a braita? Here it's an explicit Mishnah, and you should have asked me from the Mishnah. Now I'll tell you why you didn't ask me for the Mishnah. Elohotam lav hainu taima. I'll tell you what the reason is. The chol dalet amot legavi kerem, avodat hakerem. At first 4 amot by the kerem, that's considered to be avodat hakerem, and that you would need whether there was a wall there or no wall there. You always need that 4 amot. The gavi gader came into lo mizdaron afkure mafkir luhu. Because you don't plant by the wall, his mafkir luhu means that a person doesn't plant in that area, not because of a halachic reason, but because of a practical reason that he doesn't want to destabilize the wall. The baini baini, the interim space, ikadalit chashivan. If you have 4 amot that's planted, that's considered to be chashuv. Ilo, lo chashvina, if it's not 4 amot, then it's not significant enough and doesn't become its own entity, and that's why you can't plant there. What Abaye basically says to Rava is, I'm talking about a case where the mechitza creates a halachic problem. The mechitza in the case of the gdola and the ktana, the mechitza around the ktana creates a halachic reality now that is a problem. That halachic reality is the ktana now becomes a part of the gdola, and that's why you can't plant in anywhere in the ktana. Whereas if you didn't have the wall there, you could have planted dalet amot away from the vineyard. In this case here, the wall does not create a halachic problem, it creates a practical problem, which is that people don't want to plant within the first 4 amot of the wall. But that's not because halachically they're not allowed to. If they wanted to, they technically could plant there. The reason they don't plant there is because they don't want to ruin their wall. And because of that, they create a reality where they have to only plant when it's 12 amot, because they need 4 on each side plus 4 in the middle. Had it been that you wanted to plant straight up to the wall, you could have also skipped 4 amot from without a carom and planted straight across to the wall. You have no problem. It's not a halachic issue, it's simply a practical issue. He says, the reason you didn't ask me from this Mishnah is because we know why you need 12 amot. That's a practical issue. And same thing with your case. Your case, the reason by 11 amot you can't plant is because of a practical issue. Now what's interesting is, because of this need or necessity to have 4 amot of zera in order to be significant, it's actually binary. Which is that if you reach 12 amot, you're allowed to plant 4. If you have anything less than 12 amot, you can't plant at all. You can't plant anything, because then you have the 4 amot away from the wall, 4 amot away from the avodat hakerem, you have less than 4 amot in the middle, it's not significant, it's batel to the kerem, and you can't plant. So because of that, it turns out to be binary. It's either 12 amot plants, 11 amot don't plant at all. But again, the reason for that is a practical reason, not a halachic reason. He says that's not mechitza li'isura, mechitza l'chumra. Chitza the Chumra is when it creates a halachic problem that stops me from planting there. That's not the case over here. This creates a practical problem which prevents me from planting. And that's how Abaye dismisses this question of Rava, that I find another case of Mechitza that is the Chumra. Okay, now we move on to a new situation, a new case totally. I'm Rav Yehuda. Gimel karpifot ze bitzad ze. I have 3 karpifot that are adjacent to each other. Remember, what's a karpaf? What's the definition of a karpaf? A karpaf is the equivalent of something like a backyard. We discussed this before, that the chatzer, the courtyards, are almost appendage to the house. Those are an extension of the house. They did things in the courtyards that you would normally do today in your house, whether it's cooking, whether it's preparing certain things. The courtyard was considered to be a part and parcel of the house. And that's why, number one, tashmisho tadir, its utility or its usage is frequent. Number two is it has accessibility, both from the house and from the outside, usually from a mavoi or shut rabim into the chatzer, and from the house. On the other hand, the karpifot, we said before, ain't tashmisho tadir, doesn't have utility that's used all the time. You store your wood back there. You put things in the backyard in that open space, whether it's animals, wood, whatever it is that's back there. Number two is accessibility is usually only through the house, not through another entrance into the karpaf. So the karpaf is an area that's surrounded by a wall that generally is not used or heavily used. In our situation over here, we're talking about karpifot, we're talking about people who are traveling. We're talking about yotzei lederech. Again, this is chazara from what we did earlier in the Masechta, which is that when people are traveling, we give them a dispensation to put up either poles all the way around to make a mechitza for them for Shabbat, or to put up strings to make it into mechitza. For them, they're allowed to do that up to Beitza Atayim. They're granted up to Beitza Atayim, they can put up these subpar mechitzot in order to surround the area and to utilize it. That is, for any individual who's traveling. If there are numerous individuals traveling and they will become what we call a shayara, they become a caravan. That means you have three or more people together, then they become a shayara and they're allowed to encompass or enclose any area that they need. Whatever their needs are, they're allowed to enclose as long as they don't leave any area that's more than psa'atayim, that is empty. But otherwise they can encircle the area as much as you want. So individuals only get beit satayim. People of our shayara get as much as they need, kol tzarchan. So now the question comes up here, when you have this case of the gimel karpifot zeh bezad zeh. Three people are traveling, and each one of them puts up a fence around them, this subpar mechitza around them, in order to have this area that they can carry on Shabbat. But it turned out to be an interesting in the shape that they made it, which is zeh bezad zeh ushnai mechitzanim begufafim v'emzei enim begufaf. The two outer ones have these sideboards, whereas the middle one doesn't. You can see the picture in Rashi, the first picture in Rashi, which is the two outer ones are larger than the middle one, and therefore they have these corners or these sides that come in. The middle one is parutz mimlo'o to the two side ones, whereas the outer ones have these gifufim. And in this case we have v'yachid bezeh, and likely girsa is v'yachid bezeh, a third time v'yachid bezeh, which is each one of these karpifot has one person that's staying in them. In that case, we have no question about it. Nasek is shayara. Nodim lehen kol tzarchan. They definitely become a shayara, and we give them whatever they need. And that is because, in relationship to the middle one, basically what you have here is the two outer ones become gedolim, because that's the equivalent of a chatzer gedola or gag gedola, and the middle one is the ktana, which is parutz bimiloa. When you have a ktana that's attached to a gedola, we said before, the ktana becomes an appendage of the larger one. So in this case, the people who are on the outside have both their area and the middle area together. And that means in the middle area, all three of them really have a common area. And because of that, the three of them are joined together, and they become a shayara. That joins them together, makes them three, and that's why they're granted as much as they want, more than six sa'ah, which would have been what they got individually. They can put up whatever they need. Now, had it not been that way, then if one of the outer ones was a more than a beit satayim, then they would be asur, and so would be the middle one. Would be asur, because the middle one is parutz b'mlo'o to one of the outer ones, which is asur. So the outer one would be asur, and so would the middle one. On the other hand, if the middle one was more than beit satayim, and the outer ones weren't, then the outer ones would be fine, and the middle one would be problematic. In this case, because of the way that we have it designed, they become a shayara, and we don't worry about this issue of beit satayim. The Gemara now wants to know, v'di'i emtze'i migufaf u'shnayim achatzanim inu migufafim. What happens if it's the reverse, which is the second picture in Rashi, which is the middle one is wider, and therefore it has the side boards on it, but the two outer ones are now parutz bimluam into the middle one. And again, you have a case where the individuals are laid out in v'yachid b'zeh, v'yachid b'zeh, v'yachid b'zeh, one in each of those areas. Do they become a shayira? Einot limehem ela beit shesh. Then they only get six, meaning each one of them gets a beit satayim. Because in this case, the center is the main area, and he appends the two side areas. But the problem is that we have no single area where all three of them are joined. Because the middle area, yes, he appends the two areas, but the individuals are out there. They're not in the middle. The middle pulls the outer sides in, but it's not the other way around. So you have two individuals on each side. Yeah, they're connected to the guy in the middle, but the three of them are not connected together. And so because of that, we say that they only get beit sheish, which is they each individually get beit satayim, and that's it. Ibalu echad bazeh, vechad bazeh, ushnayim beemtzayi. What happens in a situation when you have one individual on the left one, outer one, this is in that second case that we had in the Gemara, you have one person in the right one, and then you have two people in the middle. How do we look at this? Mahu. Ilo hocha nafke tlato. If I look to each side individually, then I have three, because I have the two in the middle, plus the one on the outer side. So if I put them together, and I look at the big one as it's pending the smaller one, then you have three. So if I look, if I go in each direction, I have three. So what do I say? I say, therefore, everybody's mutari, we have a shayira here, according to Avraham Dilma. Or maybe I say the more logical way to split it up is, if I have two people in the middle, we'll split up, and half of us, meaning one of us will go to the right, and one of us will join with the people on the left. That means that I have two and two, no three together. So that has actually three permutations. There's a possibility that I would say that we look at it as if everyone has three, because I take the two in the middle, I say that they are connected to the both sides, and each side, therefore they have three. I could say that one side has three and the other side only has one, because I give the two to one of the sides. Or the third possibility is that I say nobody has anything because I split them in half and I give one to each side and then we have two and two. So that's the three possibilities here. The Gemara doesn't have an answer and says, v'imtim salomer. If you want to suggest, chadachocha nafik, v'chadacha nafik, so in this case, we're going to just split the people in the middle, give one to each side, and therefore there's no shayara here whatsoever. Then what about this case? Shnaim bazeh, u'shnaim bazeh. I have two on the outer one, on the right side, and two on the outer one on the left side. Ve'chad be'emtzai. And I have one guy in the middle. Mao, what do I say now? Hocha vadai l'hocha nafik talata havu, v'l'hocha nafik talata havu. Again, do I say here, it's clear that the one, it's going one direction. He goes either to the right, and there's three. He goes to the left, there's three. So again, that has two permutations. It's either he goes to the right, there's three, left to the three, so we say both of them have three, or I could say that he goes to the right, then they have three, and the other side just has two. But at least to one side, there should be three, for sure. There's only one guy in the middle. Or maybe I say, if I look this way, you have three, but that leaves two on this side. I go to the other side, there's three, leaves two on this side, means I don't know which side he belongs on, and therefore both sides only have two. And there's nothing here. You have nothing. The Hilchata, the Halacha, in all these cases, buy in the Kula. All these cases, we go to Kula. So that will turn out that this will be the halacha in these cases. Number one is, in the first case that we mentioned, where you have the two outer ones are bigger and the middle one is smaller, and one in each one, that is considered to be a shayara, like we said in the first place. In the second case, where it's the middle one that's bigger and the two outer ones are the smaller ones, and we have one in each, there the halacha is the chumrah, and you get beit sheish sa'ah, and no more than that. The third and fourth cases, in those cases we pass in the halacha l'kula, which means that in the case where you have either two in the middle and then one on each side, we're going to say the kula means both sides get the three, and it means that the whole thing is considered to be a shayira. Or the case where you have two on each side and one in the middle, again we'll say that it's equivalent to having three on each side, and everyone is mutar in this case. Amar Rav Chisda. Chisda talks about another case here, which is Gidud chamisha or mechitza chamisha in mitzdarfim. We had these cases before in the Gemara where you have a case where you have a chatzer that is raised from a lower chatzer. But instead of it being 10 tfachim differential in the height, there's only a 5 tfachim differential in the height. So in that case, you have a mechitza that's natural, the natural mechitza that is 5 tfachim, which is the height of one chatzer above the other. In addition to that, they built a wall that is 5 tfachim high. So in order to get your mechitza of 10 tfachim, 5 of it are contributed by the difference in the land. And we're on a, let's say, a hillside, where it's tiered. And then the tiering, 5 tefachim are given by the tiering, and another 5 tefachim by putting up a wall on top of that tiering. What Rav Chisda says is that the gidud and the mechitza are not mitzdarif. You cannot be mitzdarif them, because you either need ajay o kulo be gidud o kulo be mechitza. You have a choice. Either it's all 10 tefachim come from the differential in the height of the chatzer, or all 10 tefachim come from the differential in the mechitza. I mean, that you have a mechitza that's 10 tefachim high in order to separate the chatzerot. So now, Gemara says, wait a minute, how could you say something like this? We have a braita that says, you have two chatzerot which are tiered against each other. And the upper chatzer is more than 10 tefachim away from the lower chatzer, then they're considered to be separate. Oh, sheyesh bo gidud chamisha mechitza chamisha. This is the case of Rav Chisda, the case where the upper chatzer is 5 tefachim higher than the lower chatzer, plus they put a 5 tefach wall on top of that. Marvim shnaim ve'im marvim echad. You have to make 2 eruvin, not 1 eruv. Because we know that from before. If you have mechitza that's 10 tefachim high, the chatzerot are considered to be separate, and now they can't join together in a single eruv. They must make an eruv individually, not together. Pachot mikan, if you're less than 10 tefachim, marvim echad ve'im marvim shtayim, then they must make a single eruv and not two. Because in the case where it's less, they don't have a lochic separation between them. They have less than 10 tefachim between them. That means there is no mechitza between them. They're considered to be one chatzer. In that case, they can only make one eruv, not to Eruvin. But this is a huge problem for Rav Chisda. That's an explicit braita that says just the opposite of what he said. So what are we going to do with that? So Amar argues here is Rav, which is definitely wrong, because Rav Chisda is a Talmud of Rav. Must be Amar Rava, Moder Rav Chisda, Bitachtona. Rav Chisda agrees in the lower one, Holi Ovaruet Pnei Asara. For the lower Chatzer, it's definitely a Mechitza, because he's looking at a wall that is 10 Tefachim high. As far as he's concerned, he looks at a solid area that is 10 tefachim high. 5 of that comes from the difference in the land height. The other 5 comes from the wall. But when he faces it, he sees a stretch that is 10 tefachim high. As opposed to the people in the chatzer, when they're looking out, they just see a wall that is 5 tefach high. It's true that there's another 5 tefach on the outside, but they can't see that. They only look at 5 tefachim high. So for that reason, Rav Chisda agrees, as far as the tachtona is concerned, then the tachtona has a mechitza. For the upper one, he doesn't have a mechitza. But then that presents a huge problem, because ihochi tachtona tarev shnaim, below tarev echad. That means that the lower area must make their own eruv, not join with the upper one, because they for certain are separated. They have a mechitza of 10 tefachim. But el yonah is now in big trouble. El yonah lo tarev lo echad, velo shnaim. The upper one can't do anything. They can't be married by themselves because they don't have a separation of 10 tefachim from the lower one. So the lower one causes them a problem. On the other hand, they can't join with the lower one because for the lower one, they can't join with the upper one because they have a 10 tefachim wall there. So the upper one is stuck in this limbo state where they can't do anything, which is now a problem because the bright, as we saw before, said that Marvin Shnaim. Marvin Shnaim means that the lower one makes their own eruv and the upper one makes their own eruv. But the way you're describing it now, the upper one couldn't do anything. The lower one can make an eruv, but the upper one couldn't have done anything. So now we have a second attempt at an answer for Rav Chisda, which is Amar Rava Barula, Kulon Shaitel Yuna, Migufefet Ad Eser Amot, that the upper one had Gifufim on the sides. So here you have an instance where on the lower Chatzer, there is a 5 tefachim that are the difference between the Chatzerot because of their height difference, because of the ground level that is tiered. On top of that, they put on mechitzot that are 5 tefachim high, like we said before. But to the sides, they put up mechitzot that are 10 tefachim high. By doing that, now both sides are facing mechitza. The lower side is facing mechitza because he sees a wall that's 10 tefachim high. 5 of which are contributed by the height difference because of the tiering. 5 tefachim from the wall above it. For the upper chatzer, they have, you're right, in the middle area where they only have the 5 tefachim wall, they have no mechitza. But on the sides, migufefet, those side walls which are 10 tefachim high, they provide them with a mechitza. What about that middle space that's open? If it's less than 10 amot, it's considered to be a petach. If it's a petach, then we're fine, because for the upper one now he has a petach. For the lower one, he has a full-fledged mechitza there, he can't do anything with the upper one. For the upper one now, they have a petach, they have a doorway to the lower one. Either they can be on their own, or they can be together with the lower one. Now that presents another problem, which is, if we explain it that way, yochim a seifa. What are you going to do with the latter half of the bright that we saw before? Pachot mikan, if it's less than 10 tefachim, marvim echad, vim marvim shnaim, they must make an eruv together. They cannot make a separate eruv. Wow, why is that the case? Ibai echad terev, ibai trei terev. In our case now, if you drop the middle piece down below 10 tefachim, that doesn't really matter because they have the 10 tefachim walls on the side. Those form real mechitzot, and the middle becomes a doorway. A doorway we've seen before, it gives you the right to make it either together or separately. So you really should have the option to make it separate or together. Yet the seifa, the brayta, says you must make it one and not make it two. So that doesn't reconcile with the brayta, that explanation. Now we have a third attempt at explaining Rav Chisda, which is Amar Rabba Brei Derova. Yon shenifritza tachtona bimilu'a le'olyona. It's a case where the lower one is totally broken into the El Yonah. So here, right, there's no Kifufim in that case. We don't have these sidewalls. Now, for the El Yonah is wider than the Tachtona. The El Yonah being wider than the Tachtona grants it a wall that is 10 tefachim high, because in that area that it's wider than the lower one, you make a wall on top of the land that is higher, you make a 10 tefachim high wall, and that separates between you. So that for, as far as the upper one is concerned, they have a mechitza, and the area that's broken open is a petach. So for the upper one, he has a choice. The lower one has a height difference from their land, which is 5 tefachim high, but then he only above that has a 4 tefachim high wall. That doesn't separate between them. That leaves the lower one with a breach into the upper one, whereas the upper one has a petach into the lower one. So now the Gemara says, that's the solution to the problem. Iochi. If that's the case, tachtona chad te'arev, trei telo te'arev. That's the case, and the lower one has to make it as one eruv and not two. Because for the lower one, as far as they're concerned, they have a breach in their wall. They are now one with the upper one, and they have no choice anymore. But, oh, Yonah, for the upper one, they're left in a situation, they have a petach. As far as the bigger one's concerned, the 10 tefachim wall that's on the side, where they're wider than the lower one, that makes them separate. And the area that's broken into the lower one is a petach. So when you have a petach, the upper one should have a choice, either to be one or to be two. And that doesn't reconcile with the braita. And so the Gemara says, Ibai treyarev, Ibai chatreyarev, in Ochanami, you're right, that's what he would do. The Gemara says, well, b'chitani pachom, mikam, arvim, echad, behem, ravim, shnaim. The braita says explicitly, he can only make one eruv, not two Eruvin. Why is that the case? The Elyona has a choice. Gemara says, Atachtona. That's from the perspective of the Tachtona. The Mevraita is only talking from the perspective of the Tachtona. From the perspective of the Tachtona, if it's five of land grade plus five of Mechitza, then they're separate and they have to keep separate Eruvin because they can't join together. On the other hand, if it is five tefachim of land grade and then less than five tefachim of wall, the Tachtona has no choice now and they must join the upper, and that's why it's Chad Te'arev. And that's what the Braita is speaking about. From the perspective of the Tachtona, it's either or, it's binary. Either they are one or they're two. Now you're right, for the Elyona, in these instances, they will have the option in both cases because they have a petach. So they can do Chad Te'arev, Shtayim Te'arev. And because of that, they have that choice to do what they like. But from the Tachtona's perspective, they don't have that same option. Doresh Amereimar. Mereimar came along and was Doresh and disagreed with Rav Chista. And he says, Gidul Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, Mitzdarfim. He says when the land level gives you five tefachim and you build a fence on top of that, that's a full-fledged mechitza of 10 tefachim and it's fine. You can join them together to make it into a single mechitza against that position of Rav Chizda that we saw before. Right, according to Mereimar, it applies to both sides. As opposed to Rav Chizda, where it only applies to one side, at least according to the way down we've explained Rav Chizda. Achuchay Ravina the Ravacha Breda Rovo. So Ravina finds Ravacha Breda Vechida. Amarlei! Tani Mar Midei B'Mechitza. Did you learn something in the Beit Midrash with regards to Mechitza? And the other possibility in the Girsa here is Amarle Amar Ameimar. Did Ameimar say something about Mechitza? Amarle Lo. He didn't say anything. V'Hilchata. The Gemara here concludes the Loch is Gidud Chamisha U'Mechitza Chamisha Mitzdarfim. That the case we passed in like Mereimar. In this case over here, that they do join together. That there is a single mechitza that's made out of the difference in the tiering of the land of five tefachim plus a mechitza on top of it of five tefachim. By Rav Hoshaya, Diurim Habayim B'Shabbat Mahu Shiasru. This is something, again, more chazara from early in the Masechta. What happens in an instance where you have new parties that join in the middle of Shabbat? Do they change the status? The easiest situation to think about is you have two chatzerot that are separated by a mechitza that's 10 tefachim high. All of a sudden, in the middle of Shabbat, the wall falls down. So what were two chatzerot before, totally separate, made their own eruvin, they were totally fine. All of a sudden, in the middle of Shabbat, the wall collapses. The wall collapses, I have new people in my chatzer now, because now we're one chatzer, and we have new people, and we're joined together. What's the din with regard to that? Amar Rav Chista Tashma. Rav Chista says, well, let's look at our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we should have an answer for that. The other Gersa here is Amar Bechinana. Is the other possibility, Tashma, Chatzer Gdola Shnipitza Lektana, HaGdola Mutaret, VaKtana Asura, Mibnei Sheik Pitcha Shel Gdola. In the case here, we have a Chatzer Gdola that broke into a Chatzer Ktana. Then the Gdola is fine because it's like a Petach to the Gdola. The Ktana becomes like a Petach to the Gdola and it remains fine. So Amar Rabba Imar Bibel Yom Nifritza. How do you know that that fell down on Shabbat? Maybe it fell down before Shabbat. And this is a situation where they're dealing with it before Shabbat, and you have no evidence from that as to what the status would be if it fell on Shabbat itself. So Rabbi Lo Tema Mar Imar. Don't say Mar. Mar for Rabbi is Rabbo. Rabbo is Rebbe. So he's saying, Rabbo, don't say maybe it's a case where it happened Mibojom. He said, Ela Vadai Mibojom Nifritza. It's definitely a case where it broke down beforehand. Daha Mar Hu Da Mar. You, Rabbo, yourself had said before, by me name Rav Huna, or by me name Rav Yehuda, I asked this question of Rav Huna, and I asked this question of Rav Yehuda, Irev Derech Petach Benistam. They made an Eruv between two Chatzerot that had a doorway between them, and they made a joint Eruv between them. Derech Chalon, or they did it through a Chalon, and they made an Eruv between them, V'nistam HaChalom, and then the Chalom gets closed in on Shabbat. The Chalon falls apart, or the doorway falls apart on Shabbat, and it's no longer there. Mahu, what's the din? He asked Rav Yehuna and Rav Yehuda, he queried them about this. V'amarli, and they answered, Shabbat, came in Shehutra, Hutra. Once it was mutar coming into Shabbat, then it remains mutar for the entire Shabbat. So it's clear that the case in our Mishnah happened before Shabbat, because if it was on Shabbat itself, everything would remain the way it was. The status quo would not change. If we come into Shabbat with a status of heter, that remains, even though some of the things or dynamics that made it this way fall apart. Despite the fact, everything remains in the status quo. Generally, we do not have to worry about it, but we saw this earlier in the Masechta that assumes that there are proper mechitzot there. In all these cases, there are proper mechitzot there. Even when the chatzer gdola and the chatzer ktana, they fall down, the wall falls down. Yes, the gdola has a petach and the ktana, it's fine. But for the ktana, a whole wall fell down. But it still has three whole walls around it. And because of that, it has proper mechitzot, it's just missing something on the one side. And that's why it might remain mutar. In the case, the way that we make our Eruvin today, we use Tzuret HaPetach all the way around. We lose areas that are larger than 10 Amot, because it has a Tzuret HaPetach, we consider it to be as if it's closed in and it's fine. If the Eruv falls down, we don't have Mechitzot anymore. And that's maybe the problem today with an Eruv. It's true that if you see an Eruv, you don't necessarily have to tell other people about it, but you may not carry anymore because you've lost the Mechitza. The mechitzot no longer exist. When we say kevin shehutzu l'shabbat, it's which of the kul shabbat, that's only when the mechitzot remain intact. Over here, the mechitzot, in our type of eruv today, when an eruv falls down, we lose the mechitzot. And because we lose the mechitzot, then it doesn't remain mutar for shabbat, and it does cause a problem. But again, there, you may not have to tell others about it, but for you yourself, you may not carry anymore if you're knowledgeable or know the fact that the mechitzot has collapsed on shabbat. So then the Gemara says, itmar, kotel sheben shtei chatzerot shenafal. So this is that case that I told you. You have a wall between two chatzerot and falls down on Shabbat. Rav Amar, imitaltim bo elu dalet amot. Rav says, dalet amot, that's it. Mechitza falls down, it ruins what was there beforehand. I have two chatzerot that were separate, now they're together. Shmuel Amar, zimitaltel arikar mechitza, zimitaltel arikar mechitza, as if nothing happened, nothing changed. You can carry one chatzer until the wall, like before, and the other one to the wall, like before. Kevin Shehutra, Hutra. That's fine, coming to Shabbat. After Shabbat, next week, you're gonna have a problem. But this week, it remains B'tzad Heter. V'ha, derav, la b'feirushit mar, el miklal itmar. The reason we know Rav's position is not because he explicitly said it, but rather we can infer it from this case, which is, derav u'shmol have a yatri be'u chatzer. Rav and Shmol were staying together on Shabbat in a chatzer in a courtyard. Nafal huda de beni beni. The wall that was between this chatzer and the adjacent chatzer fell down on Shabbat. Amar lo Shmuel, shkugel glima. Go take a cloak and a giduba and hang it across so that we have a separation, that we have a separation between our chatzer and the other chatzer. Adrinu Rav Leape. Rav turned his face away as if to disapprove of what Shmuel was doing. So Amar lo Shmuel, ikapid abo. Abba is a term that Shmuel used to call Rav, whether it's his real name, or it was a term of endearment, or a term of respect, he called Rav Abba. And he said, Hikapit Abba, shkulo hem yanei, vikashuba. Take his belt, and use that to hang up the cloak. Rav is upset about it, you take his belt and you hang it up. Meaning he wants to show him that he's gonna do it anyway. So, Ulu Shmuel lamaliha. Why did Shmuel need this at all? Shmuel says, came into Hutra Hutra, why does he need to put up the lima in order to make the mechitza again? He says, Amar zemetaltel yikar mechitza, zemetaltel yikar mechitza. Even if the wall's not there, you can carry like you did before. Says Shmuel Ovid, let's niyut abama. He didn't want the neighbors looking in. It had nothing to do with mechitza for halachic reasons. He simply wanted his privacy. So he put it up so they continue to have their privacy. For Rav, isvir le dosur lemele. So Rav, why did he turn his face away? Why didn't he just say to Shmuel, I don't think you're doing what you're doing is right. He should have said explicitly, atrei the Shmuel have they were in the city of Shmuel. And so they were in Narda, which is the city of Shmuel. And so therefore Rav did not want to object to Shmuel publicly or in his city because he's the Morad Atra. So he defers to Shmuel's Pesach Halacha. But if that's the case, then why did he show disapproval? He knew it was Shmuel Lashitate. So why did he bother to turn his face away? So that the Talmidim will see, or people who see him won't think that Rav holds like Shmuel. He says, you're right, this is Shmuel's city, so we're going to allow it to go through. But I don't agree with this, and so he turned his face to show that he had disapproval of it, but he didn't do an explicit disapproval because it was the city of Shmuel. Okay, we'll stop over here.